Well, hello and welcome to After the Sermon, a Bethany podcast where we have the privilege of digging deeper into Sunday messages. I'm Tammy DeLau, and today I'm joined with Barb Schaller. Barb, you are an elder's wife here and you lead worship. Mm-hmm. I am thinking of when I came, how long have you actually been here with us at Bethany?
Long time.
Okay.
38 years, okay. 40 years, something like that.
Yeah, we must have come around the same time.
Andy and, we probably did.
Yep, Andy and I are married 36 years and we were here a few years before that. So, yeah. I have loved having you be a faithful constant here at Bethany. So.
Well, we've loved being here, and we've seen God do a lot in 40 years.
Yeah, super fun. And I'm joined with Pastor David Baxley, who will be bringing our sermon this week.
I've only been here 10 years, comparatively here. So, I mean, I just feel like a very young all of a sudden.
So we're just going to have you be quiet.
That's good. I'm going to take in the collective wisdom right here.
There you go. But you will be preaching on John 15, the end of that. Yeah. Going in a little bit into chapter 16. I'm feeling a little bit sorry for you because we're doing love, 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 love. We all love that love thing.
Yeah.
He ends with, you know, we're supposed to love one another. Mm-hmm. And then we get the big hate word. And none of us, none of us love that hate word. So why don't you just share a little bit? I know you don't like that.
You know, and that is like, if we end with verse 17, like you said, this is the command to love one another. There's the idea of this message that we're really coming on is expectations of the Christian life. In a way, Jesus has been giving us all these great expectations of our relationship with God, of both here on earth and in the future to come, our relationship with each other, how to love each other, care for each other, how to have that intimacy in Christ. You know, there's just these wonderful things that are so positive. And then he's coming and he's like, but let me also give you another expectation. And he begins that expectation at verse 18. It's kind of summarize everything he's about to go with. So, if the world hates you, and when he says if here, what he's actually meaning, and the world does hate you. So he's saying not, hey, if it happens, it happened, but the world hates you, and understand it does, because it hated me before it hated you. And you're right. So we have this huge contrast that's happening, and it keeps going. And essentially, it's this expectation that things are going to be very hard. In the world that we live in now, when we follow Jesus, he gets into it a little while, and he even says, verse 20, remember the way I spoke to you? And this is what he wants us to remember. Like, when Jesus says, remember, you should remember. So remember what I spoke to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. And that's the real theme that he's about to go into over these next many verses that we're going to be diving into.
But you know what's interesting about that is that just like in our lives, we're much more ready to let someone speak into our life if they understand what we're walking through because they've walked through it. Where someone can give me and has given me in the past parenting advice, but they haven't had children. It's a little harder for me to take that and to respect that opinion when, you know, in theory it may sound good, but when you're down in the trenches, you want to know somebody else has been in the trenches, and that's the advice that you get. And so the comfort for me has always been Jesus understands what we're walking because he's walked the exact same path.
It rises to Hebrews. We're reminded that we don't have a high priest, our Savior, who doesn't sympathize, but instead has experienced everything that we can and could possibly experience.
Therefore, we can come boldly.
Love that high priest thing as we're doing our Exodus study together. Very good. Always comes back to Exodus.
Does with Tammy.
I feel bad for you as the pastor oftentimes because you have to say things like, we are going to suffer. And so we spend our lives avoiding suffering. We can kind of accept suffering because we live here and we understand death and disease and people die. Persecution is something that we don't want to accept. As you were coming on, and I'm like, oh, Barb, come on and join the persecution train.
So I think as we get to this text, and I reflect on this a lot, and and I'm not going to say this in the message, but I think it's a good setup in this, is having the right expectations is essential for every healthy relationship. You know, I was going to talk about the fact when I do a lot of premarriage counseling, the very first thing I do is, as I share with them, you know, what we want to do is begin to unbind the expectations you have that you may not even realize you have, and then confront them, because very likely most of our expectations we come in are unrealistic, are selfish. Rooted or selfish, or rooted in something selfish. Unhealthy. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just because of our own sinful nature, right? Mm-hmm. And so the idea is to challenge our broken expectations and to align ourselves with healthy ones. Mm-hmm. Because, and I tell this to couples all the time, most conflicts and even divorces occur mm-hmm. because of broken expectations. Mm-hmm. I thought you were going to do this. And I think we see the same in Christian life. We talk a lot mm-hmm. about the idea of deconstructing, people yes. deconstructing mm-hmm. their faith. It's a very popular narrative right now. Mm-hmm. And most of the time when I'm talking with someone that's deconstructing their faith, struggling with it, wanting to walk away and questioning whether they actually believe what they thought mm-hmm. they once believed, most of it is, I thought Christianity was this. Mm-hmm. And now I'm seeing mm-hmm. that it's this. Mm-hmm. I thought this was going to happen, but now this has happened. Mm-hmm. And what we have is they have a broken expectation of the relationship with Jesus mm-hmm. and yeah. what happened in this life. And which is why it's so important even when we come to this verse where he actually even says to them, I have chosen you. Mm-hmm. And that's why the world hates you. Mm-hmm. Like, he's basically saying, I chose you to be hated.
Tag, you're
yeah.
it.
Yeah, right. Like, and oh mm-hmm. man, like how mm-hmm. I don't think we often share the gospel that way.
Mm-mm. No, I don't think so. That's helpful for me though, because if there's any sort of persecution, I remember that this is part of what following Christ is, mm-hmm. and so it's a little easier not to take it personally because he told me it was going to happen. Right. So on one hand, it's real prickly. But on the other hand, I signed up for this. I mean, I knew this was going to be part of it.
Well, and Jesus says that he's telling them this mm-hmm. so that they won't stumble. And so we are not doing our brothers and sisters any service tell them.
Right.
Because then when suffering, how many people do we know? They're walking, they're doing it, and then suffering hits, and it's like, oh, I don't want to serve a God that does that. Our persecution hits, and it's mm-hmm. like, no thanks. And so, mm-hmm.
and as I was reflecting on this message, and we're not going to go here Sunday, but I think this is a good place to go here because this is a tough conversation. As whenever I think of these expectations, I also feel myself contrasting with a very, very, very popular Christian verse from Jeremiah 29:11.
That one that's taken out of context?
Yeah, and so what we do is we read a verse that we says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares mm-hmm. the Lord, mm-hmm. Plans for prosper, not to harm, mm-hmm. plans for a hope and a future. And then we take that, okay, not to harm, hope and future, and then we have Jesus saying, I chose you to be hated and be persecuted and mm-hmm. to suffer. So which is real? Which is true? They feel like this contradiction. And I think we need to push off on this because I think we spend a lot of time writing on coffee mugs, getting necklaces, getting pillows for our home, getting little wall hangings with Jeremiah 29:11, because mm-hmm. this is the message we want to hear. Right. But to summarize very, very quickly, this is not a message mm-hmm. in Jeremiah 29:11 to Christians mm-hmm. in the New Covenant. Mm-hmm. Just to be very, very clear, mm-hmm. this was a message that God wrote specifically to the nation of Israel. And I want us to think about where the nation of Israel was.
They were going into exile.
They're in exile. There's a promise of coming out, but how they got there? Suffering, death, mm-hmm. torture, destruction, like harm. Right. Like there was a lot of terrible things that happened. God's mm-hmm. like, now I want to pull you out. And as a people, I have this desire for a future for you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And but then he goes on to also say, however, this happens only if you, and then he begins calling my name, and I will respond to you, and mm-hmm. I'll be found from by you, says the Lord, when you seek me with all your heart. Like, there's even tensions around that, but I feel like I wanted to bring that tension up.
Yes.
Because that's a great example, I think, mm-hmm. verses like that.
Right.
We respond.
So we take that and go, he says, I have a plan for you to prosper you, give you hope in the future. Oh, that must mean, I bet that means Look at what the, and we mm-hmm. go with it.
That's got to mean a good job. Mm-hmm. That's got to mean a nice home.
Mm-hmm. But what if the plan to prosper us includes mm-hmm. suffering and persecution? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the part that we don't want to think about, or we don't think that he means that. And so it's when I go off and add my expectations mm-hmm. to something that I wasn't supposed to, that's when the disappointment comes and the, you know, the confusion comes. And
the reason that we're here and we know God's word is because persecution happened that scattered the truth of who Jesus was. I mean, mm-hmm. like persecution had to happen.
Yeah, mm-hmm. like if you mm-hmm. go back and look at the early church, mm-hmm. We have Pentecost and all these Christians are there. Mm-hmm. And for a while, things are really good. Mm-hmm. Like people
almost utopia.
Yeah, people are like, selling things and giving them to others in need and provide for each other. They get to meet daily in the temple, and they're getting really, really comfortable. And you're going to see a lot of biblical scholars that will come in and begin to say, well, and then persecution hit and it spread the church. And they'll tell you that this was essential for the spread of the gospel. Because if it had stayed so comfortable, they would have done what we do. We like the comfortable. We get so used to. In fact, there's a quote that I just read this week that I'm writing a paper on for something. And one of the things was that when persecution finally began to end in the Roman Empire, the author said the Christianity no longer needed to look at hope for a future past earth. They had the ability to find comfort in the earth now. They stopped living for eternity and started living for themselves.
But I think I see that in my own life. I know I became a Christian when I was 11 years old. And, you know, had great Bible teaching, knew there was a heaven, knew there was a hell, knew there was an eternity forever. And I really was like, but I want to go to prom. But I want to get married.
Yes.
But I want to have children. Now as I'm aging and it's a little harder to get up in the morning, you know, as I see grandkids being raised in a world that feels a little hard sometimes, I am way more at my age to say, come, Lord Jesus, come. So I can see where our comfort does take our eyes off of eternity. Our brothers and sisters in other countries don't have the ease that we have here. And so I know you're going to speak to that too. We kind of build these little isolated kingdoms. I feel like you had a lot to say about the kingdoms.
Well, I thought about that part, what do we build? You're going to talk about that, about what kind of kingdoms do we build? And I thought, do I do that?
To keep us safe.
To keep us safe.
Just to clarify, it's the idea, the contrast of what we do. And understandably, in our nature, so no one wants suffering,
right?
We're not looking to it. And so what we do is we work very, very hard to countermand the words of Jesus. Anything I can do to prevent Jesus's words of you're going to suffer, you're going to be persecuted, anything I can do to countermand those words, I build what are the kingdoms of this world. And it could even be a real earthly kingdom I build to keep me safe, or other many kingdoms in my own life that I build. Right. Just to give context to what you're talking about.
Exactly. And so when I first thought about that, I thought, no, I don't do that. But boy, that sounds awful. I don't build. Maybe I do. What would they be? And I think there are more than we even know. If I would ask the Lord, show me, what do I build so that around myself so that I stay comfort, or what? And there's a couple things that he showed me. You know, it's very easy to fill our schedules with the church stuff, with all, it's all good stuff, but I'm all nice and cozy here, right? But I'm still busy. And so that sort of makes you feel like you're being a responsible Christ follower. But do I put time in there to go out where it's prickly, where it's hard? Well, I got a lot to do in here, you know? That was convicting for me.
That's a kingdom we build up.
That's a kingdom.
That's a good example of that.
Well, and I'm just thinking, if I were to open my Bible, do I have highlighted, I will be persecuted? Those are not the verses we typically highlight. I know you and I have talked. There was a highlighter quote that you had shared with me. That was really good.
Yeah. So it's by a Christian artist named Rich Mullins. He died in the late 90s, but wrote a lot of great Christian songs. One of them, Awesome God. That for those that older ones that might know that song, and I grew up with too. But one of the things he was challenging the church. He was speaking to Christians, and he said, we all would cry out and agree, we must be born again. And to which we all would say, yes, we must be born again. And to which he goes on to say, and Jesus said that to one man.
Said
to Nicodemus. Okay. And we highlighted, we must be born again. But you know what else Jesus said to one man? Sell all your possessions and give to the poor, so that you do not have treasures on earth, but in heaven, so that you fully will follow me and not what you have in comforts. We don't highlight that verse.
Right.
And that's this tension he's wrestling with, is that our expectations become so different because we have the ability to pick and choose which ones we can highlight, because we feel like we have the power, especially in Western culture, Western Christianity. We feel like we have power. One, we live in a place where we can vote and try to and we can go to the Supreme Court and we can do things to fight to protect our rights.
There's nothing wrong
We even see an example of Paul doing that as a Roman citizen. But yet at the same time, Paul did it even knowing that he would continue to suffer along the way. Mm-hmm. And that eventually did lead to his death, even as he went about doing that. But we try to create these pockets like this. And in those, it's like, oh, I should be able to do this. And we miss, but yeah, actually part of persecution, and I think we miss this in America, we don't have to worry about persecution and when it comes to death.
Right.
I don't have to, for the most part, worry about someone dragging me in the streets, stoning me, burn the stake. But I think the persecution that we truly can experience, which is also something the early church did, and this is, I'd like to talk about this a little bit to understand persecution, is I think we will suffer persecution from a economical and relational standpoint. The early church got to a point where they couldn't go into the market and have the same bargaining powers. They would, it would cost them more to buy things than would than would others, or people just wouldn't sell them and they wouldn't be able to get resources that others had, or nicer foods, or nicer things the way other people had them. And then relationally, people would say, well, if you're not going to come to this play with me, because in this play, it's, they're actually having sex on stage, or you're not going to go into the temple with me and my friends, where we also hang out and eat and drink and party. Then we don't want nothing to do with you. And they become, and they were forced in rejection by friends relationally. I think those are potential things that we can, and in some sense, and I'm going to use this word very carefully, should experience. And here's why I want to say should. One of the things Jesus says in verse 19, as he says, you know, they're going to hate you. He also says this, if you were of the world would love you as its own. Meaning, if you live like them, act like them, do what they do,
they're going to embrace you.
They're going to embrace you. And so there was a tension that I see that Jesus is setting up here, because then he says, but because you're not of the world, the world hates you. And so it's this contrast that I felt myself wrestling with and needing to ask the question, what are the things in my life that exist that remind me that maybe I haven't really given fully of my life to Jesus to live the way he's called me to, because the world will accepts me doing that, and I can accept myself doing that. It protects me. It protects me from the counting of the cost when it comes to my money or my time, like you were talking about, Barb, or safety from having to be in tough situations, or safety of even, like, Tammy, you talked about this week, being around people that just are going to act differently than me and make me uncomfortable. Like, those are all things that we tend to avoid. So if the world is so embracing who we are, we might want to ask, how much of that world are we loving more than Jesus?
Right. That's a really good challenge. So you know John Swanson.
Yes.
Because so Jane and John Swanson are dear friends of Andy and I, and John was a pastor, and their family has given me access to his manuscripts. So I just feel like, so I mean, it's called John's Treasures. I feel like I'm so lucky to have those. And he happened to preach through the book of John. So I was looking at his and just trying to understand the world hating you and why the world would hate you. And so he used a really good analogy. He was on staff with Crusade for a while in Illinois. So he would go to an Illini game. And oftentimes the tickets they would get, they would be in the opposing teams. And I felt like this even with my children in high school. There's not enough room at a basketball game on this side, so I go sit on the other side. And, you know, you're excited, and someone scores a goal, makes a basket, does whatever, and you get excited, and you realize you are they are all looking at you like, oh my gosh, you are the enemy. That is what it is like living in this world. Like, we are the enemy at some level. So I thought that was a great analogy.
Well, and I would say, again, as I'm reading this in Jesus, and I'm feeling challenged by this, so so I, as people process this, should feel like, like, I should feel like an outsider. Like, there's an element to that, that as believers start to follow Jesus, they more and more begin to feel like outsiders, because they started to inherently see where their values, the way they lived, how they did things were so different than a culture around them. And it's easy to think, well, no, that was then. That was such a contradicting culture. But as I reflect on that more, I'm just realizing so much of that culture is within my own life here. I don't think it's that extreme. And it's easy to, I think one of the kingdoms we will build, Barb, is a kingdom in our own mind that tells us, no, it's fine. Mm-hmm. I'm not missing anything. I just happen to live in this great place that my values will align with the world. Mm-hmm. And so we're all good. And that it's okay to say my main goal is to have a nice house, have a nice car, make some money, mm-hmm. because God wants really good things for me and mm-hmm. not to harm me and all, you know, whatever
scary.
Might be.
Yeah, you're right. And that's one of the prevailing mm-hmm. attitudes that's out there
we deserve like it.
We were talking a little bit earlier about the difference between biblical Christianity and cultural Christianity, and what do we hear mm-hmm. So often is, you know, God wants you. Does God really want us to be comfortable? Mm-hmm.
it's like we're the frog in the water and the temperature's just being slowly turned up until we're no more.
And the thing that blows my mind is when we're talking about all of these things and Jesus being persecuted and him saying, look, if I was persecuted, you will be too. God being that he knows everything and Jesus being with God and the Holy Spirit, all three of them together before Jesus was sent to earth, knew mm-hmm. that all this was going to happen mm-hmm. to him. Mm-hmm. And he still came. Mm-hmm. Blows my mind.
Yeah.
Why didn't God just go, okay, you know, do you see where I'm going mm-hmm. with this? Mm-hmm. Is he still followed through mm-hmm. and he still allowed his son to come mm-hmm. and watched him be persecuted. And mm-hmm. and when I look at it that way, it makes it so much different and so mm-hmm. much, I don't want to say easier, but, you know, who are we that he would love us? Mm-hmm. That much that he would yeah. still put himself
and not just his death, but I think the other side of the persecution, as it were, that I think we experience that reflects that is, I think the series went through the summer, Life According to Jesus, mm-hmm. the Sermon on the Mount. I keep going back to that in my head, going because you know Jesus was the guy that also was like, hey, the guy, the enemy that hates you, I want you to carry his backpack. Mm-hmm. And while you're carrying it, he may mock you. Mm-hmm. And he may say, you're so stupid. Why are you carrying my backpack? Ha, I have power over you. And then when you're done with that 1 mile he was going to make you, then you say, hey, man, can I do it for another mile? Mm-hmm. And then he's like, what? And then maybe he still mocks you. Mm-hmm. Or maybe he says, why? Mm-hmm. But I think the idea is that even when someone takes my jacket, give him my shirt too,
yeah.
say, hey, you probably need my shirt too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like,
yep. And you know what that reminds me of? One of my favorite passages, Philippians 2, where it talks about Jesus Christ and how we should be that same example where he made himself nothing.
Yes.
And went to the cross for us where he could have taken out everybody, you know?
Which is so counter what we hear as Americans. So mm-hmm. I feel like there are three people that are going to be sitting in your audience on Sunday. You're going to have those brothers and sisters that they are experiencing hard. And maybe they're standing up for truths within their family that cause some real persecution. Mm. And your message is going to be a balm to them because they're going to be like, Jesus said, this isn't, I'm not doing something wrong. It's going to be a hug for them. Mm-hmm. There are going to be those who want to run away from persecution. If I'm honest, I'm probably one of those. If I can make my life mm-hmm. a little easier, mm-hmm. I'm all about that. Comfort and security can definitely be an idol in my heart. There are going to be some that hear your message and they're going to go and they just have an argumentative spirit and they enjoy that debate and they enjoy that mm-hmm. fight. And they're going to be like, all right, I can tick people off and they can persecute me and Jesus said, so it's all good.
Yeah.
Speak to that group of people.
Yeah, yeah. And I'll mention this so quickly, but it does need some unpacking. Mm-hmm. I would agree. There was mm-hmm. persecuted. Jesus said, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness, mm-hmm. for yours is the kingdom of heaven. Mm-hmm. However, when we are loudmouth, abrasive, mm-hmm. on Facebook, in people's faces, mm-hmm. being absolute jerks and demanding everyone else believe what I believe and demand that everyone else recognize that mm-hmm. unless they do what I do, that the God doesn't love them or they're mm-hmm. going to hell. And mm-hmm. like, again, even so, we throw little truths in on this, mm-hmm. but that's not suffering for righteousness' sake.
No.
That's suffering because you're a jerk's sake.
Right.
Like,
and what is attractive about that? That I want what you have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The other part of that, you know?
Yeah. And there's like, mm-hmm. there's this great tension that because, and again, that's kind of what the Pharisees did. Like they were kind of known for that too. And they had lifted themselves up like, the people may not like us, but we are the spiritual mm-hmm. ones and we will lift ourselves up. And when we say things that are hard that they don't like, then they may hate us, but we are with God, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think about how Jesus did not hesitate to say truths but I never felt like he was a jerk. He said hard things, and and the people, though, he was like the, if you want to say like the times he was a jerky or mean, mm-hmm. you know, for lack of a better word, if you want to feel like that, they were more to like the people that have had elevated their righteousness.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He wasn't that way to Nicodemus, mm-hmm. who knew his sin, who was living, he was robbing and stealing. Everybody knew. He's like, hey, Nicodemus, man, mm-hmm. hey, can I go to your house today?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then he's like, yo, salvation has come, right? Yeah. Like, it's just this like encouraging thing. Like when he finds a woman caught in adultery, he's like, hey, you see what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
I see it too. Mm-hmm. It's time to go sin no more.
Right.
Like he was gentle as he spoke truth.
Mm-hmm.
He was loving as he still spoke of sin.
Right.
And that's who Jesus is. And so when we're like doing these other things, mm-hmm. like don't claim persecution because you're a jerk. Mm-hmm. You're just being beat up because you're a jerk.
Right. Absolutely. So another area that I would love to go, because basically what we're saying is expect persecution.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to happen. It mm-hmm. is the normative. It's not the expect. Mm-hmm. We want you to know this is happening. So that you don't stumble. We mm-hmm. love you enough
yeah.
that we need you to see this. Mm-hmm. We've talked about suffering and persecution and there being a difference. The good news in all of this is that we have the Holy Spirit. I mean, Jesus yeah. is mm-hmm. saying, you know, it is mm-hmm. good for me to leave. It is better for you that I leave. Mm-hmm. And there are some Holy Spirit verses in there that I know you could have done a whole sermon. You're going to need to take them out. I would love to talk about that a little
bit. That's good. So, mm-hmm. you know, there's two spots where he hits the role of the Holy Spirit and he kind of sandwiches this a little bit in here. But first he talks about persecution.
Let's let them know what verse
that
is.
Yeah, so in chapter 15 is where he begins with the world hates you. Mm-hmm. And in verse 25, he ends with, they hated me. This all happened so the statement may be written that the law might be fulfilled. They hated me for no reason. Then in verse 26, he speaks of the counselor. We talked about this last week too, mm-hmm. or 2 weeks ago. The Holy Spirit comes, the mm-hmm. one who will send you from the Father, Spirit of truth, proceeds from the Father, and he will testify about me. And then he's going to come back and I'm telling you things so that you do not stumble. Mm-hmm. He gets in more specifics. People are going to think mm-hmm. they're killing you for good reasons and mm-hmm. all of this. And then he comes back to them in verse 5, and he says, but I'm going away. But don't ask where I'm going. Verse 6, because I have spoken these things to you, sorrows filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I'm telling you the truth. It is for your benefit that I go away. Mm-hmm. Because if I don't go away, the counselor will not come. He's coming back to the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And if I go and I send him to you, and when he comes, he will convict. Here's what he's going to do. Now remember, he's sending him to the disciples.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what the Holy Spirit's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world about sin, righteousness, and judgment.
Okay.
And I want to unpack those three just really quick. Yeah, right?
I love it. Mm-hmm. So when I see the world, I think, oh, the world out there. But you said it has a dual. It's them and us, right?
Well, the Holy Spirit, okay. when the Spirit is alive in us, he also convicts of sin. This mm-hmm. is sanctification.
Right.
He reveals sin to us so that we see our need for Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But then he continually begins to convict and reveal the sin that is in our lives so that we experience sanctification.
Mm-hmm.
So it's this process that we can only come unless the Spirit draws us to Christ, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is
right.
the initial role of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And then he works in our lives and he convicts for salvation, repentance of sin. But then I'm talking about John living repentance. We did mm-hmm. this right back before.
Mm-hmm.
And so he also convicts to help us continue to live. And I think, as I think of the hard things that we need to maybe reflect on, one of the things I thought of is that he convicts us of the sin of the sins that we want to hold on to instead of giving our life fully
mm-hmm.
to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Like, here's the things you're still holding on to, David.
Mm-hmm.
These are the comforts you want to have. Yeah, if you really were willing to fully live for me, and it would be tough, and you maybe see persecution, but
yeah.
this is the things you're holding on to, your own desires. And then he says he convicts of righteousness. And
what does that mean?
Yeah, so I'm summarizing here, right?
Okay.
He says about righteousness, because I'm going to the Father and you will no longer see me. And we see in the life of Jesus what righteous living was.
Mm-hmm.
And now the Holy Spirit comes and begins to show us, reminds us. And Jesus is going to say this in a few moments. I have so many things to tell you. When the Spirit comes, he's going to mm-hmm. remind you of what I've told you.
Okay.
And he's this is the righteous life I've called you to.
So one is convicting you of what is wrong in your life that needs to go, and the other is convicting you of what needs to happen to be right in your life.
I think it's calling us to righteousness.
Okay.
I think it does two things. First of all, there's the imputed righteousness that we receive, mm-hmm. with the righteousness we receive at the moment of salvation. Like mm-hmm. I receive righteousness
mm-hmm.
from God. I don't earn it. It's not mine.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the first thing, right, that we mm-hmm. experience with the power of the Spirit.
Josh challenged us last time. when we use big words. Yeah. Like, I almost wish he could say,
and that's what I'm saying.
Imputed.
So it just means,
so what does imputed mean?
Just, I would simplify it this way. It's like, he has put it on me. He has made me righteous.
So when God looks at us, he sees Jesus
righteousness. He sees Jesus' righteousness on us. That's
okay.
Right.
Okay.
And yet there's righteous living.
Okay.
You know, in Matthew, that's Jesus is speaking to, blessed are those who persecute you for righteousness.
Okay.
The things that you do that are right in the eyes mm-hmm. of God, the right ways of living.
Okay.
And so the Spirit of God points us to the right way of living as we see modeled. I mean, you want to come back to the cliche, what would Jesus do?
Right.
This is one of those where the Holy Spirit says, what would Jesus do?
Right.
What would Jesus have done? What did Jesus experience? Mm-hmm. Why did Jesus experience it?
Okay. So another big word that we use, and maybe you explained it, but I just want to make sure you use the word sanctification.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
So let's define sanctification.
Yeah, so a continually growing more and more like Jesus.
Okay.
The allowing the Spirit to work in my life to where the desires of my own flesh, the desires mm-hmm. of my own sinful nature are continually lessening as the Spirit of God is conforming more to the image of God,
mm-hmm.
To not be transformed by the world anymore, but now be transformed by the power of the Spirit, where my life continually looks more and more like Jesus.
Okay, mm-hmm. So we have the Holy Spirit convicting mm-hmm. us, the world of sin, mm-hmm. the world of righteousness. What does judgment mean?
And then he says, of judgment. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. Again, all of these we could unpack way more. So I'm giving us
so
a simple
painful.
Summary.
Yeah, so.
But, you know, as we think of enough judgment, it's because the ruler of the sin has been judged, or the ruler of this world has been judged, knowing mm-hmm. there is an eternal coming.
Mm-hmm.
There's an element to which we as believers still need to have a right. I was fear of God. I was in Exodus this morning, and I can't remember which chapter it is. Off the top of my head, I want
to. Way
dig,
to go, David! But, yeah, being in Exodus.
Yeah, I was in Exodus this morning. Right? I'm reading through, actually doing that with my transformation uh-huh. guys, yeah. so because mm-hmm. our wives are doing it. But mm-hmm. as he said, hey, do not be afraid. The Lord your God is coming to test you, mm-hmm. so that you would fear the Lord and not sin.
Mm-hmm.
And as I reflect on that verse, I see there's an element of this here as well, that it is not like this, like afraid of all this unknown and what's coming and afraid of persecution.
Right.
You say, no, you don't need that, mm-hmm. but recognize to work out your salvation with fear and trembling.
Mm-hmm.
Recognize that you are still walking before a holy God. So both understand there's a judgment coming. Those who do not know Jesus will experience eternal judgment. Those that know Jesus will mm-hmm. experience an eternal life. And yet on this earth to live, understand there's an eternity that we are living for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that what we do, the choices we make can't be for the earthly comforts of right now,
mm-hmm.
but for the eternal mm-hmm. perspective
right.
that should lie before us. And and my brain doesn't go there. My brain goes to my own comforts, my own desires, my own sin, my own desire to want to define what is right in my mm-hmm. own eyes. And the Holy Spirit's role
mm-hmm.
is to reshape us, transform us, to mm-hmm. show us what sin is, to show us righteousness, to call us to righteousness, and to help us walk out our salvation with absolute fear and trembling mm-hmm. before our holy God.
Yes.
But yet he comes back to this, and then this is, I think, a summary, but I still have many things to tell you, but you can't bear them now. This is verse 13. When the Spirit mm-hmm. of truth comes, he will guide you in all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak whatever he hears. He will also declare to you what is to come.
Mm-hmm.
And the encouragement of that is, guys, this is going to get hard.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus even says, there's so many things I would want to reveal to you right now, but it's going to be too hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know what the Holy Spirit does? He meets us where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he doesn't just pour over us every single thing. Emotionally and spiritually, we just, boom, we might blow
right.
up.
Mm-hmm.
He's like,
right.
so when the Spirit comes, he's going to take you through step by step.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to walk the sanctification, the mm-hmm. transformational process with you.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives us the power. We talked about this a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
To live the life we're called to, and to face even suffering,
mm-hmm.
persecution, mm-hmm. hardship, and to take a stand
mm-hmm.
in that. And then next week, I'm just going to go into this,
yeah,
right?
Because we have got to get there. So.
And then next week,
mm-hmm.
Tyler's going to take us into the mm-hmm. second part of this, where Jesus is going to say, all right, you just heard a lot of hard.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you how to still have joy
yes.
in hard.
Right.
Not how to find joy and so it's not hard. How to have joy
in
that is
heart.
In hard and see, the eternal mm-hmm. perspective of who Jesus is.
Right.
And so the answer, again, remind ourselves as you're reading through this one big conversation. It's like we're taking apart a conversation. Jesus at this point, he's not in the upper room anymore. He's walking, he's mm-hmm. probably walking through the streets with his disciples
mm-hmm.
and he's having a conversation like we would, a deep one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's building from a conversation they had within the upper room. And he's just saying, guys, all right, I got more for you. Okay, mm-hmm. I even have more, but I can't tell you everything now.
Yeah.
But since you're so heavy, and this is where we're going to go next week, so read ahead. It's mm-hmm. starting right. in chapter 16.
Yeah. Verses 16 through 33.
Yeah, yes. Yep. And and that to see how he's going to help us to respond to these things. Mm-hmm. I wish I could tell the whole story.
I wish you
in
could
one
too.
Sitting, but take each
you
piece.
You really got the raw end of the deal,
David. You know what? I like this. Okay. I'm grateful because okay. God's teaching me.
Yes.
You know, that's mm-hmm. the advantage when you get hard stuff. Yeah, that the Spirit of God start teaching the hard stuff too.
Okay.
And I know I need to hear this just as much as anybody else.
Well, this has been fun. Thank
it
you
has
for,
been fun.
Yeah, thank you for joining mm-hmm. us. So David, I'd let you know, read John 16, verses 16 through 33 for next week. Mm-hmm. And have a great week. Bye-bye.